This is CliffCentral.com.
Hello, good morning. It is.
Ooh.
See, you guys did it before the show.
That is not pleasant.
Oh, man.
No.
Now we have to start again.
Okay, from the top.
Oh, now I've lost the song. Play this instead. This is our When Gareth's Away theme tune. Good morning and welcome to the Gareth Cliff Show. See, happy show, happy music.
I was just actually thinking to myself, like, we think we're past school and what school used to mean.
Well, but you're not, theme song, so recent.
True. This theme song is like our school bell. As soon as we hear this, it's like, okay, break is over, back to class, all right.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, I got here on time, and then I opened my laptop, which admittedly has quite a lot of stuff going on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to get that theme tune to go, and then it's like, oh, I get the beach ball of death, and it goes and spins. I was like, okay, it's 3 past 6, it's 4 past 6. Ugh, I'm just going to try to play this. And like, I don't see Mubs, I don't see Sia, but I play the song. And out of nowhere, like, the magic.
And then we all...
You guys are sitting down, like,
just
hey.
Come out of the woodwork.
Hey.
No, sometimes you just have to accept, like, ugh, things aren't going as per plan. Your laptop isn't working. I had one of those days yesterday. I came in for the show and I was feeling pretty okay. But throughout it all, I was just feeling weirdly, weirdly nauseous. And I was just like, okay, where is that music?
I know.
That music's still going
on. I'm bed musicking you, see. I'm bed musicking you because your story sounds delightful.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying sometimes it's necessary to reboot. That's all. I had a rebooting day yesterday.
Good. Oh. Okay, so everything else is fine though.
No.
Technology, life, love,
no, happiness. I still think I'm pregnant. That's a concern of mine.
How is your love life at the moment, Sia? We haven't really gone into this for quite some time. I mean, I know it's a box of chocolates, but...
No, it's more like... I personally don't like licorice, and you know that...
You better be careful about where you take this now.
You know that black, yucky licorice? But some,
salt licorice.
It's like a box of that or a packet of that. No, my love life is non-existent at the moment, Ben.
But see, when people say that, I always think, firstly, they just don't want to talk about it, so they're literally pouring you off. Or secondly, what are you hiding from?
No, I currently just... I'm now in constant fear that you're going to like play me off.
No, I do play God off.
I do... appreciate a date every now and then, but now, yo guys, a date is actually a lot of effort. You people in relationships should be very, very grateful you don't have to go through this entire spiel of dating.
Why do you think we're in relationships?
Exactly, because it's just easy and simpler. When you need to go on a date, you still need to impress the person. So, like, you need to make sure that you're shaved and you pick a good outfit and, oh, you want to impress them, so you're going to go somewhere.
This is how you approach every day. You're right. You arrive here with a bag of cosmetics and things. You picked your outfit. You've got, like, a tub of moisturizer waiting to go.
You see,
and now
you guys
see
me. You see me on an average, like, a 6 out of 10. When you go on a date, you need to be at least an 8/9.5, if not a 10. Depending on who you're going with. And then once you get to dinner or drinks, then you have to think up great conversation and woo them and sound smart and keep your back straight. Ugh, no, I'm not about that life right now.
So the well is dry right now.
Ugh.
No, sorry, Mubs, you don't think this is a terribly defeatist attitude? Yesterday we started our happy
show with spending time
with people. It's so great. And here's young Sia saying, ah, I've got to sit up straight. I can't be dealing with this.
No, this is why it is important to have your list of good old faithfuls that you can call.
So you're just looking to hit it and quit it then?
No, not at all. The people who just know me. And when you come over to my house, I don't have to clean up first and I don't have to...
Yeah, but I feel
light
like,
candles. And
no, I feel like these things come in peaks and lows.
Mm.
I mean, there was a time where you were peaking, Sia, and you were...
My entire life is a peak, though.
Okay, so
well, no,
sorry.
No, it's not Mr. 6 out of 10 for us. How offensive.
But judging by some of the stuff that you've shared with me leading up until this moment, you know, you had a good run, and then you just decided to hit brakes a little bit and say, okay, let me just... Calm down.
No, look, I still think
everything
I'm a ripe,
balance.
Juicy mango. I haven't reached my dry.
No, you...
I haven't reached my dry years yet. But you have to admit, it takes a lot of effort.
Okay, but so does getting anything you want in life. I mean, if you want to get a good job, you work harder. If you want a car, you do things with money. If you want to be good at sport, you train harder. Are you telling me that you just don't want anything in your life? Because that's your attitude right now, Sia.
Oh, no.
I don't mean to be sound head principal here, but you are putting in you're putting in C-grade effort. You're going to get a C-grade result.
I think a job and money, that's my priority. That's like priority number one and number two in my life.
So why can everything in your life be
a famous? Relationship isn't a main priority right now. So
yeah,
that's
but if you're going to do anything in life, why not do it properly?
Yeah, but he's not relationshipping right now.
Yeah.
If he was looking for a relationship, he would be doing it properly.
No one's ever looking for a relationship
in
life.
Yes, they are.
Yes, they are.
They are. There are plenty of people who are walking around here hoping to meet the next best thing that's going to come into their life.
Working with proposals and a 6-point plan of where they should hang out and who they should bag and when they need to be married. Yeah, there are people who are actively working to it.
Ben,
where are you hanging out?
No, I just believe that, you know, be single until your life is better with someone else.
Mm-mm.
No.
People are very different here.
I've got to spend more time with other people in this world.
Well,
One of my sisters is going through this major, major phase in her life because she's just like, no, I'm past 30. And for her, and I think if this is what you genuinely want, then good for you. Because she genuinely wants to be in a solid relationship and she can't wait to start having kids and. And so she's now one of those people who's like, where can I hang out different this weekend where I meet a new guy who can sweep me off my feet? And now she's also looking at the clock and she goes, oh, okay, where and how can I have 2 kids in 3 years? Yeah.
Okay, sorry, the point I was trying to make, Sian, I probably just did it badly.
Okay, principle.
Would you never want to like be in a position where you're actually sharing some of your life with someone who you actually like? Because it sounds to me like you're kind of really avoiding it.
Not now, Ben.
But
what
do you mean not now? I mean, we might not be here next year.
Okay, that's you. I don't know. I would still like to say I have many a year left in me. I think
You might lose a leg in a freak accident, and then you got like a pig leg. That's not sexy.
So. I still listen. And now depends what you can do with the pig leg.
And
if
now
you know
you're looking
what I mean.
Revolting. Very special clientele you're looking at right there.
But it's quite interesting because I was talking to one of my girlfriends about this recently, about how, and I don't want to say it's a gay or straight thing, but it kind of in this situation is. How our timelines are, I think for straight people, your timelines are short. It's like your 20s are for work and your 30s, you have to have kids and you have to settle down. For me, my timelines are, I still have 20 good years to myself. And I could, if I wanted to, start building a family life in my 40s because I don't have a biological clock that I have to worry about. And I'm just ready whenever.
This is interesting. This is interesting. I mean, I'm curious about this kind of stuff because obviously I'm a different genre, different generation this year. So
do explain your genre. What is that?
No, it's just like I've been through those times where you go, oh, now he's going to hold me down. I mean, your life sounds like a Christina Aguilera song. And then you think you get older and you think like I missed out on a couple of things. No, because like sometimes you look back and then you like we talk about people who are just like trash in life and people end up with people who they don't love and they just end up being like, you know, safe or bored with them. But then you think like, well, shit, maybe I should have put more time into that person or that person. Maybe I should have put more time into that part of my life. But if you're so hell bent on like, no, I'm going to be this island. I'm going to be Ibiza. Then, you know, you might miss out on stuff.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people, when they get to old age, they have things that they regret anyway.
Sorry, Mab, just hang on a sec. You're about to say something profoundly. Give you a background music.
Oh, here we go. You are really on with something here.
Carry on.
No, I think it's almost impossible to go through life and get to a certain age where you don't regret at least one or two things.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, that's natural. But then there's, like, the forced regret. Yeah, and Sia's a hot ticket. He goes all over the place.
But, you know, Sia's young. Mm. He's young, so, you know, he could take a year off. like a break from the dating scene and then jump right back into it next year.
Yeah, look, and I don't mean to be crass, but it really is a lot of effort. And sometimes you have to shave and you have to clean up in places you aren't used to, all in order to impress someone. No thanks. My pajamas and wine are calling me in the evening.
Diary of a 40-year-old housewife by C.S. Sangweni. So Gareth's not with us today, but he's back tomorrow, right?
Yes, so he's traveling today. He's traveling back to South Africa.
He's a traveling man at the moment, and he's been having a good time. Well, I asked him how the wedding was, and what did I get?
What did you get?
I got no response. Ooh, I got no response.
Is he ghosting you?
I don't know. Maybe we're not actually friends. Maybe I'm just here for sport. I don't know. I don't know, guys. I'm not going to draw anything to it, but there it is. So, the show goes on as always. Yeah, I noticed I have no running order. Ah, okay. See, Mubs, it's difficult. You get here, Sia's so busy not shaving in places and all this other kind of stuff. He's being a 6 out of 10 now, work-wise, too.
And right now is when we need him to go up to a 10 out of 10 on the work front.
Yeah, so I think young Gordon will be back tomorrow. But while Sia pulls himself towards himself on the admin front, we got a delightful email from one of our listeners. And we do get, I'm going to apologize on behalf of the team for not reading more of the emails that do come through. It's just, you know, sometimes it goes into the prep and then sometimes we get talking and you know how we get lost on a tangent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, inadvertently, we just spoke about Sia's love life for 10 minutes. Yeah. I mean, that wasn't planned. I'll tell you what, I sat down and I was interested. So this is from Tess. Now, Tess says, "Hi team, massive fan of the show, but since you often say you're in search of some negative feedback, I have something small to mention."
Oh, okay, cool.
Very good, Tess. Thanks, you did pick up on that. Well, outside of Gareth's Friday rant, I mean, we are looking for some constructive negative feedback.
Oh.
You weren't here on Friday.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, you really picked a good day. this is from Tess. "I recently moved over to Amsterdam from South Africa." Oh, you must meet Hi Rob then. I'm sure you guys party at the same places. "And when I went into a client meeting with my new director, the only real area of improvement he identified was the fact that I use the word like a lot when I speak. My mum, who's a real stickler when it comes to language and grammar, has often given me a hard time about the use of the word. She always tells me She always tells me it considerably dumbs down or detracts from the content of what you're saying. Smart woman. But I never really cared because it's quite common, albeit bad habit of many South Africans." Too true. "Since my director pointed it out, though, I realized how rarely people here do it. And I decided to make a conscious effort to stop using the term necessarily." Because that's it, basically. You say like unnecessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. "Well, ever since that point, I really began to notice how often I was saying like in general conversations and how much better it sounds when I don't say it. Furthermore, I noticed how often my friends home and back home in SA say it. I've now also made them aware of it and they're consciously trying to take it out of their vocabulary. The reason I mention this is because soon after I became aware of my bad habit, I listened to a podcast from your show. Please just listen to the first 10 minutes of the podcast I'm referring to, screenshot attached, and pay attention to how many times Ben and Gord say like."
Ooh.
Fucking Gordon, he's a bad influence.
Oh, how was only Gord to blame for this? For things that come out of your mouth?
It's really quite something. Gord is particularly guilty of this. I knew it. Ben used it a lot on that particular show, but generally isn't as bad. Anyway, just want to mention that in case you always wanted to know more, be more aware of the terms you use. Not much of a criticism, just more advice. Use it, don't use it. Blah, blah. Yeah, Tess, thank you so much. That is actually very good. I make a conscious effort trying to say like and so less. Because it is. You're dumbing down a sentence because it's almost like you're overly punctuating sentences and you're padding for time. Think about it. And then he like did this and then well like this other time.
Yeah. I don't mean to make myself in particular sound dumber, but this is quite true. I also found that I have certain catchphrases or certain terms that I use all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I use, for example, I'm always drawing some sort of example. I still use so. I don't think I'm a big ummer, the irony of just umming
just
now.
Umming before
but
you.
I don't think I am
like a lot, yeah. Like a lot.
You like a lot.
I'm like always umming. Yeah, but it's true. And we speak every day, so we should be better at it. So thanks, Tess. I'm taking it to heart. Whether Gordon does, well, that's another story.
Well, we speak so much. That's another thing. Mm. You have to be so aware of it.
And look, spoiler alert, we make up a lot of shit as we go along with the show. So
every time.
That's kind of where the word like and so and and kind of come into
it. All day, every day, just actually, shit gets made up.
From the moment I wake up to the moment I go back to bed, it's a lot of shit talking. That's what it is in my life.
Yeah.
All right, so Nathan Ture, he is the guest today. What's so funny about that?
It's Nakane Ture.
So why'd you type Nathan?
It's autocorrect. That's what I just realized.
Well, who the hell's Nathan Ture? Nathan Ture, if you're around, come into the studio. We'll interview
we
you.
We don't know who that is. Actually, this is a very cool interview that Gareth did last week. This is a new interview that we'll be airing at 8. Even the mere fact that we call him Nakane Ture isn't valid anymore, because in this interview, the musician, and he's now living in the UK, is touring all of Europe and came to South Africa just to actually renew his visa. And he said he wanted to stop by and talk to Gareth, spoke about individualism. And, you know, Gareth loved that. And they went into this whole conversation around, and Nakane, by the way, apart from being a musician, is the actor who starred in Inxeba, The Wound. And yes, that movie that got a whole lot of hoo-ha, and how interestingly, through going through that entire experience, he learned how to be himself more and what matters most to him. And he says certain constructs and certain labels that people have on him, like he's a musician, or, oh no, you're Xhosa and your surname is Ture and this is how you should be and this is a family legacy. He now is at a point to say, actually, no, that's not what matters to me, so screw it. He doesn't want to go by his surname anymore. He simply wants to go by Nakane. And he says he gets to define his own way and his own life. So he doesn't want to be labeled as just a Christian or just as gay or just as young and black. But he says, I'm going to define my life in my own way. So, yeah, listen to that and how Gareth chats to him around that and his music and his movie career as well, just after 8. It's quite cool.
So in short, it's worth listening to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, all of our interviews, I'd say, are listening, worth listening to.
I googled Nathan Ture, and...
Is there even a Nathan Ture?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, what do you mean, of course?
Actually, there isn't. No, you're right. It just corrects to Nakane Ture.
Exactly, yes.
Okay. Well, anyway, I say you are forgiven, but just this one time. I mean, I need the running order on time, and I need it in my head.
Thank you, Benjamin.
So, just going to the messages, for some reason, I think WeChat's... Does WeChat work anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, that's not for you. I'm not going to bore you with that kind of stuff. Anyway, Ntandazo, remember him? Morning Mubs and the rest. Okay, clear favoritism straight off the bat there. Yo, you guys, I've been sleeping on this being an escort thing. I'm now grateful I got laid off from my job at the fish and chip shop. You'll remember my unceremonious disclosure on air about the ass grabbing incident by my boss at work.
Yes.
Oh, the well, boss heard.
He'd gotten whiff of that and resultantly sacked me.
Oh, I don't think that's legal.
That's not legal. No, you can take him to CCMA.
Yeah.
So, it goes on. So, I decided to sell dick online.
Okay, no judgment. Let's listen.
I've never made a grand in one day. This is live dick power. Okay, a couple of questions here, Ntandazo. When you say you're selling dick online, what does that mean?
Well, Ben, what do you think it means?
Well, see, are you selling really tasteful pictures that get put into a gallery?
I think anything in that group is just general.
Look, I wouldn't mind the details either. I mean, do you meet up with them? Do they touch yours and stroke it? Do you do the same for them, or do you guys go the whole way?
Yeah, but that's just selling dick. That's not selling dick online. I mean, call me a stickler for the technicalities here, but then you're selling dick.
Well, I just think the reason why he says online is he means he's not standing on Oxford Road for it.
Okay, so he advertises online and delivers in life.
Yeah, I would assume.
Hmm.
Okay, guys, look, I'm new to this. Don't look at me like I've been selling dick online for years.
Sure, we know this because we are.
Well, you looked at me with a very authoritative tone, C.S. Sangweni.
But Ntandazo, yeah, that doesn't sound like a good situation. Well, no, I'm not judging your dick selling online.
You made a grand. I'm
talking about the fact that you were fired based on the fact that you spoke out about your superior touching you.
Yeah.
That's, I don't want to say illegal or whatever the term is, but it's not right.
Well, look, I mean, seeing is believing. Let's get more of the story. So, you know, on the show that we love science, we love facts, we love stats, we love surveys. I mean, we try to give you the breakdown of why things happen in life. I mean, just yesterday, my buddy was telling you a story about the Japanese and how they have a young culture and how they're trying to get more babies. And, you know, we always give you more. And because, you know, when you get just headline stories, you'll just get like a snapshot of what the world is. Well, we really get into the nitty gritty of it. Well, this is a rather interesting take on why rappers go broke. So you really break down to the dynamics of it all. And it makes a lot of sense.
Looked at what $1 million is to the first time rapper. First of all, it's tax half. Yeah, that's $500,000 right then and there. Boom. So now all you got is $500,000. The first thing you got to do is get a nice car.
My truckity truck.
And there's $100,000. Now you got four left. You got to get your jewelry game up. And things are costing a lot lately.
I like necklaces.
So let's say you spend $100 on the low ball side. You know what I'm saying? Because you want to keep up with everyone else. So now you got, what, $300,000 left. You got to get a place to live, and you don't have good credit because you're just coming from the street. So you got to drop more than 20%.
What happened? What happened?
Sorry, that was ludicrous. He just came in, slapped my computer and paused because we now know a secret.
So you got to drop more than 20%.
I'm at home, baby.
So now you got about 250 left. Now your homeboys think you got way more than you have, and you got to look out for everybody on your block. So put 50 to that. You got to keep your fresh together.
I love my Gucci fits. They telling me.
So you're going to spend 50 on fresh. Your sneakers, you got to pop tags every single day. So put 50 on that.
Get you a pair of these right here.
You have an overhead where you have to maintain all these things every month. So now you might have 20,000 in bills every single day. You know what I'm saying? And there it is. It's gone. There's no more money.
Sounds like you have $1 million for all of 3 days then.
Yeah.
And Isn't that interesting?
The chunk of it that goes straight back to government. Oof.
Outrageous, hey?
That cuts deep.
I mean, that just makes no sense. It's just, how you ever meant to get a decent rap game going when the government gets half your money?
It's insane.
So, basically, to get 1 million rands, for example, in your pocket, you need to get or earn at least like a 1.585 amount. Because the government is going to take like 500,000 plus of your money.
Well, look, a better question is, why isn't rap music tackling this issue?
In what way?
Because rap gives you the impression that you just make the money, you spend the money. You don't have to, I gotta go for a million, now my entourage, I've gotta have it. Like that, that to me is the premise of a fantastic rap song.
It depends what generation or class of rap we're speaking about. I mean, you look at guys like Jay-Z, for example, who are now business moguls. These are the kind of people that the youngsters should be learning from, because you absolutely don't have to go broke. You only go broke because, you know, you're probably young and dumb, and you want to be flashing your money initially. But eventually these guys get it together. I mean, Drake and them, you know, just look at all the successful rappers that have managed to keep building.
Mm.
So it just depends which category of rappers you're referring to.
What about Tamarack?
Flavor and I drip sauce everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, that's gonna cost money.
Like, anytime I step out, I'm popping flavor, I'm dripping sauce. They already know I'm coming through, shutting it down. I just want my man to be a reflection of that. Like, when they see him, can he be the Kanye to my Kim?
Man,
like,
it's hard out there on the street. It's hard being a player.
Pops and flavor dripping sauce.
Anyway.
But, like, rapping about your taxes or rapping about getting a good accountant isn't exactly sexy.
No, but you get the guys like Kendrick and them who rap about things that are actually, you know, things with substance as opposed to I pop bottles every other day.
Yeah,
and
this is our culture, though.
Those guys have their following. They have their people who appreciate the message.
Okay, guys. I wish I had the breaking news song. Ntandazo's come back, and he's basically given me an entire outline about what he means. Mm. Basically, there's an app where you can sell dick online.
Wow.
There's a criteria you go through, and blah, blah, blah. So after the news, in the next hour, Ntandazo, thank you very much, actually. You really have gone above and beyond.
What's it called?
Oh, my gosh. I've got to go through this whole letter.
Selling dick online.
No, what's the app called?
I don't know. I don't know if his... I'm going to have to look into this, but we need to get into the news because I can't just read this dry.
Never mind. Nope, I'm not going down that road. I'll be classy.
Although, yes. from a snapshot, I think Too Cussy Tops is his profile name. Jeepers, this is quite something. Okay, let's get back to this in the second hour. My buddy Malloy, what is happening in the five things that you need to know?
Well, we'll begin with the former Higher Education Deputy Minister Mduduzi Manana. And if this name sounds familiar, it's because last year he was embroiled in an incident where he was captured on video slapping a woman at a nightclub here in Johannesburg. Well, he is set to sue the family of his domestic worker following claims of assault.
Guy's all class, huh?
In a statement issued on Monday night, Manana, who pleaded guilty to the assault case last year, says that the family of Catherine Wiro had tried to extort him out of 100,000 rand. The statement was released on a Gauteng government media WhatsApp group on Monday night. The domestic worker in question did accuse him of beating her up, but then subsequently withdrew the assault complaint against Mduduzi Manana. And now he says he is going to be suing her for these assault claims. Hmm. Yeah.
Can't some people just live without drama? If it's not one thing, it's the other.
KPMG say that they're rethinking their future in South Africa. The auditor's been mired in controversy. And the intervention comes after more clients have cut ties with KPMG last week, including APSA and Redefine Properties. They say that they acknowledge that the failings at the firm have contributed to adverse perceptions about the audit profession, and they accept responsibility to work towards redressing the issue. But for now, they're kind of sitting down in their boardroom, rethinking their future in this country.
Sure, that's a big meeting to have, huh? Because firstly, that's a lot of jobs, a lot of money, it's a lot of bottom line.
Yeah. Police opened fire with rubber bullets and used tear gas to disperse protesters in Protea Glen yesterday. The protests erupted as members of the community blocked a group from occupying land illegally. The group trying to occupy land claimed that they were given permission to build on a plot in the Soweto suburb, but residents from nearby houses won't allow it. So it was a case of one side versus the other. Police had to intervene. Fire and rubber bullets were thrown across the scene, and yeah, it was just a mess. So pretty sure people will be keeping an eye on that part of the province this morning just to make sure that things are settled and that we don't have to deal with another protest. And then lastly, the SABC have dismissed 26 of their employees, saying that they were fired for misconduct. The former staff members were employed at the broadcaster's licensing fees collection department, and they received their dismissal notices last week after going on strike for a number of grievances with their employment contracts. The SABC also says that that strike was an unprotected one, and so it breached employee policies, and now there are 26 of them without jobs. And those are the five things you need to know.
All right, we got cryptocurrency, we got sports, we got Ntandazo's shocking claims of how there's some very accessible app allows you to sell dick online.
I still want to know the name of the app.
Well, we'll get to it. But first, we got to hear this from Student Flights.
The year is 2031, and you just arrived at Lollapalooza. Yes, you are about to get your party on. But first, the security check. Here you're fitted with a tracking collar and searched for illegal substances like gluten, lactose, nuts, and things that were made in a factory that processes nuts. Next, you are funneled into the queue to the Pre-Festival Sensitivity Training Center, where you are issued with a whistleblower whistle to alert authorities to any misconduct. One short blow to report inappropriate words or hand gestures. Two short blows for unauthorized dance moves like twerking, dabbing, or waltzing. And of course, one long blow if someone makes eye contact with you while blowing on their whistle. It is almost party time. After you are instructed to stay in your pre-assigned area at all times, the doors of Lollapalooza open before you. You are in a safe space. The song being performed on stage was approved by a team of civil rights lawyers, nursery school teachers, and the global head of HR. You're having a perfectly safe time when the music is suddenly drowned out by whistling. Some troublemaker, no doubt tripping on macadamias, has wandered outside his pre-assigned area and is quickly dragged off by security. Party on, man. Party on. The future's coming, so travel before it's not fun anymore with Flight Center Youth and Adventure.
dope. I always love that ad. You know that there's now a social justice sort of degree or course you can take at Harvard. Dead serious. We'll get to it in the second hour.
Oh my goodness.
Cryptocurrencies. Bitcoin is currently trading at $9,410. Ethereum is $769.17. I think in the last sort of like in the last month, I think Ethereum has gone up 100% in value. I think Bitcoin's up about sort of 60% in value. So if you like it, although I must say what Anthea said yesterday made a lot of sense with the whole Warren Buffett thing, mm-hmm. that these are non-productive assets, cryptocurrency. So yeah, there's fun and there's excitement and there's a bit of risk reward, all that kind of stuff, but it's a non-productive asset and it relies on other factors in play rather than being just good governance, all that kind of stuff. Never thought of that, but it's clever. And that's why we have Anthea here on The Money Show. That's every Monday here on cliffcentral.com. If you didn't miss it yesterday, well, then just go onto the website, cliffcentral.com, and you'll find her. You'll find, well, a variety of things. You'll find more of Gareth with his great interviews. You'll find me and my sport, or you can have me and my sport right now for live.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, a lengthy segue, but one all the same. Right, let's get into it. This week, of course, is the big Players' Championship. Now, the reason I get excited about the Players' Championship is because everybody you love in golf will be there. It's the strongest field in golf. And I'm not just saying it because it's like a crappy tagline that they throw onto things. It really is. The PGA Tour, which is obviously what these guys play on all year round, they don't have a single stake in any of the four majors. So what they did was they actually built their own golf course in Ponte Vedra, Florida. And it is the Players, TPC Players course. And they've got their own course. This is where the headquarters are. And this is their sort of major. The winner, Mubs, gets $1.89 million.
That's not a bad day.
You are so excited. Can't even say.
$1.89 million is what the winner gets. It's just huge. It's massive. Siwoo Kim got it last year.
Jeez, Siwoo.
Yeah.
We aren't going to make fun of his name. No.
What are you going to say?
No, I'm not.
I see you, baby. Shaking that winner's check. Yeah. I see your mindset. I see where it goes. So that'll be from Thursday. Now, the big, is obviously because it's the best field in golf, there's all kinds of great pairings and all the best players being grouped together in these marquee matches. One that's going to be particularly interesting to watch is Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods, and Ricky Fowler. Ricky Fowler has won here recently. I think he won in 2014. And as for the rest of them, well, they're just absolute legends. So I'll get more into that as we get closer to the weekend. But it's a really great weekend. It's in Florida, so east coast of America. So the time zone's pretty good if you're watching it along the sort of European, South African longitudinal lines. But I must get into something about longitudinal lines, and that is rugby. Now, there's a kind of like this weird rumor going around that more teams are going to join the Pro 14, which is what the Cheetahs and the Kings did. Now, the reason the Cheetahs and the Kings joined this tournament is because no one else wanted them. So they went from Super Rugby, where they were just getting drilled, and then they went straight into this new tournament. So for 18 months, they've been playing rugby now. But the Wales Online website yesterday have been breaking all kinds of stories, saying that the Sharks are on the way, then the Stormers will come, then the Lions will come, then obviously everyone will just be part of this whole thing. Now, Sanzal, straight away, because they need South Africa like the desert needs the rain. Without South Africa, Sanzal makes no money, essentially. So New Zealand are all smug and happy because they've got the best teams. And granted, they are the best players in the whole world. But a lot of that's got to do with the fact that they can retain all their players, that they're star players. You take away South African money, these guys will be on the first plane to France, Ireland, Japan, wherever to go make cash. Because there's no ways that New Zealand rugby can stand alone with Australian rugby. Because Australian rugby, remember, is just an afterthought in that country. There are so many different other sports that they care about there. And it really is just one of those sort of like nice side things. Take away South Africa from Sanzar, and then you've got Zar.
Oh.
You've got Zar. Yeah. So it's in my mind, South Africa should do this. Because, firstly, it'll just basically pull a middle finger to New Zealand saying, well, we take away the money. That's how great you are with your song and dance haka. Secondly, time zone wise, all the games will take place at the same time. So you have to wake up at 9 to watch a game on a Friday morning, whatever, whatever. This Pro 14 can then suddenly become what Super Rugby has always wanted to be. So there was this talk a few weeks ago about the fact that Sanzar wants to get into America and they want to make this whole thing globalized, but they've realized that the more teams that are throughout there, the weaker the competition gets. That's why the Cheetahs and the Kings went to the whole Pro 14 thing. So they want to have a South Pacific team. They're always paying lip service to the islands where New Zealand plunders most of their talent from. And now they want to go to the great frontier of America. But Sansa, I think, have been so badly managing all this kind of stuff that they are kind of leaving themselves vulnerable to such an exodus. But Andy Marinos from Sansa says by 2023, everyone is basically confirmed and committed to 2030. So the teams are all in for a long haul. But if South Africa had any sort of balls and or brains, two things that are sometimes lacking, especially in combination, they should make this move. Try get it up with England. Try get it up with the Irish, the Welsh, Scottish, wherever they are, and make something that's really revolutionary for rugby. Because if we can then have a really strong quadrant of rugby in that time zone, well, good luck to New Zealand and Australia, because those people have been very ungrateful for the money and the exposure that the South African teams have given this whole tournament. And as for Argentina and Japan, well, they're going to be afterthoughts anyway, so they can still lump in with New Zealand and Australia. I think going forward, if we really want to make a big statement in SA rugby and get it up there and get the money to come back into grassroots rugby and the right structures in place, let's say goodbye. Let's say sayonara to all of them. Trust me on this one. Just trust me on this one. It's a working theory at the moment, and you might hear some rumors from time to time, but it'll make a lot of sense.
It's a working theory.
Yeah, sure. But it'll make a lot of sense. It really will. The first Soweto derby of the season has been postponed. So, you know, you get the Carly Black Label Cup, which is between Chiefs and Pirates. And the great thing about this is that the fans essentially get to pick the team. So, obviously, it's a huge beer sponsor, and they're very much in touch with what the fans want. And this was started by basically saying that you can be the coach, which everybody wants to be. You know, you've got those games.
Well, everyone is a sideline coach.
Well, exactly. But now you can actually have your voice heard. So you vote for who you want to see. So you've got the existing squads from the two teams, and then the top votes for certain positions, then that's what the team is. So whether the coach likes a player or not, like that player then gets a chance to play. But what Colin Black Label has said, though, is because they are a global company, part of a global company, and the World Cup is obviously a massive thing, that they are going to postpone this year so that the international company can focus on the World Cup, but then it will be back in 2019 where it'll be business as usual. Well, that's what they say. I heard rumors that there's...
Spill the tea.
We're in for some tough times in South African football. I think, again, it goes back to mismanagement. There's a lot of corruption. There's a lot of sort of gangsters who are, you know, shaking down a lot of people here.
Oh, jeez.
I think a lot of these brands, and I'm not saying this is completely the reason, I mean, the reason they're stated, let's believe that because they've stated it. But there's some things happening in the background that isn't so great and so savory in SA football right now. Yeah. So you all know Game of Thrones, the Mountain.
Yeah.
Oh, that big guy.
Yeah.
Who's married to
That's a very small person. Well, everyone's a small person next to him.
No, you're thinking of Khal Drogo, Sia.
Oh,
this is a different character entirely.
Who's the Mountain? Yeah. Yes. Oh yeah. Not the one who's married to Lisa Bonet.
No, that one is delicious.
I love the fact that Mabali Maloy can always correct us when it comes to sci-fi hits. I mean, yesterday she was giving us a full rundown of X-Men.
Yes, it's the Marvel minute with Mabali Maloy.
And now she's throwing out Khal Drogo. Like, how very dare you?
He is just delicious.
Oh yes.
Yeah, but he died of a flesh wound. I'll never let that. I mean, come on. That show has had various things, but the guy scraped his knee and he's dead.
Okay, so what about the Mountain?
He's now officially Hafpaul Bjornsson is his name. Hafpaul Thor Bjornsson. He's officially the world's strongest man.
Okay.
I mean, I've heard some pickup lines in my life, but I think you will win every time if you say, "Hi, I am the world's strongest man." The Mountain, who plays Gregor, well, in the role of Game of Thrones, he's Gregor the Mountain Clegane, not Khal Drogo's here. He won the world's strongest man. He's finished twice, I think two previous occasions he's finished runner-up, but he is now officially the world's strongest man. And well, obviously he competes as a world's strong man around the world. And he's got like a whole crew. So he's got great Viking blood, no doubt about it. He's from Iceland. And this is his thing. So he won, I think, 6 of the events that was part of the World Strongman thing. So what happens is that they go some exotic place around the world, these strongmen, and then they pull trains or trucks and they hoist things above their head. And basically they make us feel really, really particularly feeble. So he is the world's strongest man. We spoke about the Kentucky Derby yesterday. Kentucky Derby, Kentucky Derby.
Mm-hmm.
And some rather sort of, let's just call her a lucky gambler. She put $18 down and she predicted 6 of the races. Got it in. 6, all 6. She got 1.2 $2 million on the day.
Casually.
You know how many of Jennifer Lawrence's cocktails she could buy?
Okay.
Seven, right? 13. Yeah, so that's an incredible thing. It was a very rainy Kentucky Derby, so that's why the odds are so stacked with her. But yeah, turning $18 into $1.2 million. What an incredible payday.
That is an awesome payday.
It really is. It really is. Yeah, it is indeed. Now, Buff Lehman, who we all know as the shamed Australian cricket coach. Well, I mean, I say shamed. You say shamed. Australia will just say retired. Well, he's had his first full interview after the whole sandpaper gate saga, which I must add, SuperSport are actually making a little documentary about, which I'm so excited about. It'll be on screens pretty soon. They're doing this whole thing about the thing called Crossing the Line, which is brilliantly named. Anyway, we'll get into that close to the time. But Buff has been first guy to come out and really like commit his sort of support to the three shame players from the whole sandpaper gate. And it all sounds nice and noble. He's saying, oh, they're bloody good blokes, you know, I wish them all the best. But it's easy to kind of say that when you're throwing people under the bus. This guy took no responsibility this whole thing. He claimed to have no knowledge of what was going on. But everything stacks up against this guy and his flimsy story and the fact that he then had to retire and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he's been saying they're all bloody good humans. I think this is Australia's way of just kind of getting back online with, like, these guys will play again. And after all the shame and the outrage, they now seem like, you know, everything's going to go as business as usual. So that's Buff's thoughts, if anyone cares about them. But I don't. I personally don't. And with that, I think we should move on to even happier things than me dismissing Buff. Which I do easily. I mean, I do happily.
How do you spell that Buff?
B-O-O-F.
Oh, okay.
Buff Lehman.
All right.
I don't know what a buff is. I just thought that was something that like maybe Tindazzle does for money. Oh, technical term.
It's so shady, Ben. I actually can't.
Don't knock it. That's just sport with me today. If you did not catch that live, well, you can catch it live every single day around about 6:35. And then if you go into the bounce.co.za, subtle plug, you get to have the podcast plus the top stories of the day, plus I put a video in, like the World Strongman, the mountain. So you get everything you need in one post. Wow. Incredible, yes, yeah. Absolutely incredible. What's happening in your happy world?
My happy world, indeed. This is the background music that I like. Folks, you know the American actor Ken Jeong? He stars he's the one who starred in The Hangover. He was the gangster Leslie Chow.
Yes, he was also in that sitcom Community.
Yes, and now has starred in his own sitcom, Dr. Ken, as well. Do you know that he's an actual certified doctor?
That doesn't even surprise me at all.
Because, you know, just casually so. Apart from his love for acting and comedy, he is a professional doctor. He doesn't practice anymore, but nonetheless, he does. He graduated with a medical degree from the University of North Carolina back in 1995, their School of Medicine. And so, because his acting career picked up, he then doesn't practice. But recently, his medical chops actually helped out because he was at a stand-up concert and he himself was actually on stage. He was performing in the middle of his stand-up set. And then he started hearing sounds from the audience. And at first, he kind of played it off because he thought, ugh, I'm doing stand-up. I'm being heckled here. And then finally, this group in the audience was like, no, dude, excuse me, no, someone actually needs your help here. It turns out there was a member in his audience. This is at the stand-up live comedy club in Phoenix, Arizona, this past Saturday night, a member of his audience who was actually having a seizure. And so mid-routine he was like, oh shucks, all right, well that means the show has to just pause for a while. He jumped straight into the audience, and because he has this background, he was actually able to help this woman out. And in a matter of minutes, this woman was back in her seat, back all fine. And they even just paused the show and waited for EMTs and paramedics to arrive. And in a moment was back on stage. He completed his set, and supposedly everyone in the audience appreciated the show. So imagine that you go off casually for a Saturday night comedy show and it turns out to be a medical event of note. But thankfully, the comedian you're watching on stage just casually has a medical degree. Isn't that quite cool?
Yeah, I like it. It's a good news story.
I know.
You've got to upskill yourself in life, huh?
Well, that can also be another lesson to draw from this. But I just thought it was so cool. And that's your said by Sia for this morning.
Nice. Solid. We do really well for time today, guys. And yesterday's happy show, I mean, we're all over the place.
Yeah.
You know what it is? It's that Anthea. She comes in here with all her smarts and her technical stuff. And before you know it, the show structure just goes.
Ben, I'm not saying someone is wrong or someone is right, but I'm saying I just want to know, why does everyone have someone be to blame in your situations? Your like story, it was Gord to blame, time it is, and hey, that's to blame.
That's what Tess said, not me.
Oh, okay. No, don't use my good music for bad. No, thank you.
Guys, before we get into the second hour, I promised you we'd play Ntandazo's story. Well, I'd try and pack it. It's quite a lot to unpack, so bear with me. And then we'll get into the second hour where you get your usual hard-hitting stories with Mubs. There's a new TV show that I want to talk about. No Excuses, Pay Pop Cult.
I think this is juicy.
Sia, do you have a fair amount of information about this? Because I am yes. So curious. I am so curious about this new show because, firstly, I think it's a great idea, great concept. These deadbeat dads in this country, in the world generally, I think have a lot to say about them, say for themselves.
I think this is the show South Africa has been waiting for.
But this show, there's this clip. I mean, I don't know if it's going to really work on radio because it's more of a visual thing. But we'll give it a go. But it's fantastic. This guy is basically outing these deadbeat dads in everyday life.
Yep,
he's like chasing them in traffic and stuff. Also, you can ask questions like, you know, where's the money? Why your kids are suffering? Why aren't you paying stuff? You know, and these guys all have money; they're all living the life, but they are just—they're not taking on their responsibility of being a dad, which I think is fascinating. But anyway, we must get on to the story of the day so far.
Are you background musicking again? Oh, dear.
So earlier I read the message to you about Ntandazo saying, well, he's quit his fish and chip job because his boss was getting a bit grabby and it just wasn't going to work out.
What?
And then out of the blue, he just said he's selling dick online.
Yeah, look, the boss fired him. And this is after he came here to do an audition for... Sorry, not an audition. Basically a job application, right? Yeah,
exactly.
And I guess his boss got word that he didn't like being touched inappropriately. And now the poor guy has been fired.
Yeah. So just first up, as Mub said, you've got a legal case there. So you can take it to the CCMA. You can get some money here. At very least, just a lot of fish and chips. So he said, this is the app, basically. And he sends me a screenshot. If I can make this bigger, if I can go into it. Okay, so two cussy tops. I don't know what app this is, Ntandazo. I mean, you've been very good on giving us details. Maybe I'm just misreading it. Anyway, so he goes by the profile, two cussy tops. Mm-hmm. Okay, so ethnicity, black, body type, toned, pronouns, we'll fuck you, position, top, HIV status,
guys,
negative.
Let me tell you.
You know more about this?
Oh, this is from Grindr.
Okay, so Grindr.
Yes.
So two cussy tops.
Salty.
And the thing is, and also sentence with this, he's not ashamed of it, mm-hmm. and nor should he be. Not exactly. So if you are in Grindr, then yeah, two cussy tops. So he says, your secrets are safe with us. We're the pages in your diary. And you see a little bit of creativity. You know, this is like old-time
so
chivalry.
Deep.
It's lovely. It's really
the
nice.
The secrets pages of your diary.
Hmm? Yeah, two cussy tops to fuck you. We don't come cheap, but we are discreet. Only serious people. And then he provides a number. Let's make you happy. And then there's a delightful sort of profile pic. There we go. Two cussy tops, 26. So he says, well, since you all want substance, okay. So we've got no qualms about what we do. If anything, we love it. A friend of mine and I are doing it. I'm enjoying it. We do it responsibly. And we vet prospective clients. We only work on our terms. Yeah. Interesting, huh?
Yep.
So that's what, here we go. As our experience grows, we have every intention of expanding into the female market. So ladies, just when you think you're being shortchanged here, Ntandazo's going to make it into your markets and other things as well quite soon.
Hmm.
The apps we're using currently, Daddy Hunt. You heard Daddy Hunt, Sia?
No, I have not. Well,
Daddy Hunt, Grindr, that's all. He's all on it all.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh, so many questions.
Daddy Hunter sounds like a place where you go if you're looking for a sugar daddy.
Well, Daddy Hunter seems maybe potentially more lucrative. Maybe Grindr's your more sort of, you know, day to day. Daddy Hunter's where you can land a whale.
And so he does this with a friend.
Mm. Yeah.
This must be a very close friend of yours.
Well, see, I mean, obviously, Two Cussy Tops. That's their unit name. Their identity, their profile.
Ben, are you stumbling over your words?
I'm stumbling over the jargon here, guys.
It's their tag team.
But it's also it's creative and it's informative because you got Tops in there straight up. So it's not going to be like, well, you know, what are these guys into? Two Cussy Tops.
No, but I'm just saying we all have very close friends and I wonder if you could do that with your friend. I can certainly say that I wouldn't be able to do that with a friend of mine.
No, exactly. Well, we've got a very progressive young man in our hands here. Mm-hmm. So that's what he is. If you're on Grindr, if you're on Daddy Hunt, look out for Two Cussy Tops. They don't come cheap, but they are discreet. I almost feel like that's a good tagline.
It's all right.
Looking at some other messages, not quite as salacious. Michelle says we've got some glorious rain in Cape Town. Well, that's nice, huh? From Two Cussy Tops to glorious rain. Okay, sorry, I've really missed out a lot of messages here. A lot of messages. Guys, I love that Lollapalooza advert, but what's with those other ads you air? The ones where they compared PW Voigt to Donald Trump.
That's for the Apartheid Museum.
Talk about false equivalencies. Yeah, well, look, that's the Apartheid Museum who advertised with us. Okay, this person believes that's like comparing Sauron with a Teletubby. Yeah, well, look, it's meant to be thought-provoking. It's meant to be about going to the museum, finding out the kind of things, and whether you agree with things, disagree with things, and false equivalencies, be it what they may. It is meant to be a thought-provoking kind of piece, I imagine. Also, did you guys hear Candace Owens tear into BLM? That's what started the Kanye controversy. I did see some of that clip. I should actually find that.
Who is Candace Owen?
Candace Owen is very interesting. Very interesting young woman. She's very outspoken. People call her. People say she's a Trump fan. She's like alt right or whatever. Of course, being a black woman, you can't say certain things. You know, this is always about different agendas, and she just does not care for any of that kind of stuff. So she lets fly on like a lot of opinion. But I gotta say, she's seems like a very sensible young woman to me.
So she's calling out Kanye West for the things he said recently.
She's calling out about, I think she was talking about black victimhood. That's what she was saying. Mm. She was going on about the fact that, you know, we need to get away from this whole victim stigma. We're more than our past. We can do so much more without having to fall into these narratives. I think that's where she goes with a lot of things. But look at me. I am just misquoting someone. But Candace Owens, if you find her on Twitter, she gets retweeted onto my feed quite a lot. So that's how I know of her.
Oh. Never heard of her.
Never either. I had to Google her to know who she is.
Well, Mabs, you didn't hear about Daddy Hunt earlier either.
No, but I mean, now I know.
Learning, growing with each passing minute of this show.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, I think that first hour was solid. I mean, I might want to blow our own horn there, but I think we did a decent enough job.
But toot, toot, Ben.
And you know what we're going to get as a reward? Some decent music. None of this grabbed from the playlist. So, yeah, why do you look like someone's broken wind? Are you going to dare turn your nose up at Lolita Holloway?
Okay. Alrighty.
All right. Damn right, get in line.
This is CliffCentral.com.